The IMG Roadmap is the only podcast dedicated to coaching international medical graduates and success blueprints for this unique pathway. I am Dr. Nina Loom, your host, a previous IMG turned hospital medicine physician, healthcare administrator, speaker, and coach. I empower, encourage, and equip you with actionable steps that you can take towards the residency position of your dreams. Hey guys, welcome to yet another episode of the IMG Roadmap Podcast. And guys, if you've been listening to this podcast and you haven't shared it with your friends, your schoolmates, your classmates, if you have left a review, please do so. That helps us reach more IMGs. This podcast is transformational because I'm getting your feedback. But today, I've invited Dr. Maureen Carina. I wanted to share her story with an incoming psychiatry PGY1 this summer. And I'm so excited to have her on the show. Welcome on board, Dr. Carina. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Loom. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm wonderful. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. Like you said, I'm Maureen, last name Carina. I just matched into psychiatry at a program in California. And I went to school in the Caribbean, so that's what makes me an IMG. I went to American University of Antigua School of Medicine. So it's a little island called Antigua. And yeah, I'm so excited to be here and kind of reach out to just even one person and give them some sort of hope that this is possible. And I listened to your podcast when I was going through, you know, med school and residency, and a lot of people in there gave me some good gems. So I'm really excited.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, it's my pleasure to have you on. I think a lot of IMGs usually have a desire to match in California, but for some reason, it's gotten a reputation for not being very IMG friendly. Can you touch on that a little bit? What was your experience? Are you, you know, is it home? Is that why you felt like you matched there? Or can you just tell us a little bit more about your perspective on that in general? I don't want to make any assumptions.
Yeah, I have heard that too. When I was applying, a lot of my friends and, you know, people who are applying with me in that cycle really kind of try to steer away from programs in California because I think there's a stigma that they're really not IMG friendly. And for me, the program that I matched to, I actually rotated there during third year and a lot of my electives. So they kind of knew me and my work ethic. And, you know, I had a relationship with a lot of the attendings and residents. But on the flip side, I also have seen some IMGs and a good number match into California. So I think it's one of those things that there is a stigma behind it. But when you have tools like, you know, do some sabais in the locations that you're targeting, right? Look at the residents. Have you seen any IMG? Is it an IMG-friendly program? Can I be able to, you know, even get a rotation there or anything? I believe anything is possible if you just put yourself out there and go for it. But I've definitely heard of the, you know, the fear that California is really not IMG friendly.
You know, I'm touched on that because sometimes I wonder if people get bogged down by hearsay and it actually paralyzes them or stops them from actually going for something that they may truly want. So for example, in your case, you're highlighting to me that, you know, actually where you matched is a place that you did rotations at, you spent some elective right. time at. So there is a lot of networking that could have happened in that time frame because you were physically present in that building. So did you know you just wanted to go there, or was it just because you were presented that opportunity? How did it come that you ended up rotating there to start with?
So, okay. So when I was in, like a lot of Caribbean schools, you do 2.5 years on the island and then you transition here, you take your step one, then you start your rotations. When I was starting my rotations, my school had just contracted with this program that I'm going to. And so I was amongst like the second or third batch of students who were rotating there. And my family's in Arizona. So initially, actually, I chose California just to be close somewhat to my family. So I ended up doing all my third year and a lot of my electives there. But what made me choose my fourth year electives there was how I really enjoyed the teaching technique and kind of like how the program is ran, especially the psychiatry program. So that's how I ended up there. And then I really did network at that program, and I ended up really being good friends with a lot of the residents and the attendings who wrote my letters of recommendation. So that's how I ended up at that program. Well, some people might say I really put my eggs in one basket because I only had two hospitals that I did my third and fourth year rotations in, which I, looking back, I would not advise somebody to do that. I would definitely tell all my fourth year medical students, if you can be able to go to the program that you think you have a high chance of matching and you want to see how that program is, definitely take a rotation there and go there and see for yourself. Talk to the residents, talk to the nurses, talk to, you know, the people at the grocery store. They're going to tell you what kind of community you're going to go join, you know, for the next 3 or 4 years of your transition, of your next phase of life. But that's what I ended up doing. I ended up putting all my eggs in this one basket. And by the grace of God, it turned out to be successful for me.
I like you touched on that. As here you are, you know, you're telling me you went to a Caribbean medical school, which is AUA, American University of America. And I'm just going to go over some of the highlight points that you've shared with me so that our listeners can stay on track with what, where we're heading with this conversation. Okay. You're a graduate of AUA. So AUA, like every other school, we have 2 years. I went to Caribbean schools, do our first 2 years on the island. And then our second, our fourth year, we do them outside, like in the States, a different house. And most of our schools will schedule four rotations for us. And they may or may not put us like to go through different hospitals. You're saying is the advantage is like to have that experience, to go to multiple hospitals so that you have a more versatile perspective and you get to network in more than one place. But what you're saying, in your instance, you were in one place and just kind of took to the families that you had in a nearby state to just say, hey, I'm just going to buckle down and do as many spots. But what you're saying is you don't recommend that to other people to just stay in one spot, because there's so much more advantage in traveling around and visiting other locations and other hospitals to just have a more versatile networking experience. Is that right?
That is very accurate. One of the things that I've come, I learned this lesson very hard when I was applying last year, was that a lot of the program directors, right, if you do not have a personal relationship with them, you're just a piece of paper on their computer screen, right? They just look at your scores, your personal statement. That's what you are to them. And granted, for a lot of the programs that a lot of us, the fourth year medical students will apply to, that's what you're going to be. But you can increase your chances of landing interviews and hopefully a position when you're more personal. That is, they have a face to this application that they're looking at. There's something unique about you that you left that reminds them of you, such that when you email them, hey, program director so-and-so, I'm applying for MATCH this year. Here's my AAMC ID number. Please kindly consider my application. You know, you're likely to get that interview just because you located there and they know you. I did the opposite. And then it's good and it's bad, because it's good that I stayed in one position and formed this really good, you know, relationship. But on the flip side, it would not have worked out in my favor. It doesn't always work out in your favor that you're not guaranteed to match in a program just because you stayed there with them for a year and a half, right? So yeah, that's pretty much what I would say.
Yeah, obviously we always have to give that caution, because what we're not saying is staying at one place gives you the foot in the door, because you may or may not have an experience that warrants them to want to keep you there, or, you know, they may interview you and put you on the rank list, but you still don't match because of how the algorithm works, or they may not interview you at all. So there's so many possibilities when we talk about rotating in one location to use that as a leverage point. So what you're saying is have a versatile experience so that you have more than one place that you're known at, so that when you come back around to say, hey, I rotated or worked with you and I'm interested in coming back to your program to train, they have a face that they can put to the name.
Absolutely. And I do understand, I was there, guys. I understand sometimes financially we cannot afford to, right? COVID hit, a lot of people's goodbyes and electives were canceled. So this limited a lot of the, you know, networking that a lot of fourth years do to get the foot in the door. But if you can, even though it's just around neighboring states from you, somewhere where you could drive to or even do like a 2 week or a 3 week, whatever it is that you can be able to get it in.
Yeah, nothing is too small. So
right.
Let me ask you this. Can you give us specifically when you started medical school and graduation from medical school?
Okay. I started medical school in 2013 in the fall. Now, I did take a break 2014 for financial reasons. I wasn't able, at that time, my school was not approved of FAFSA. So we were paying using, you either pay out of pocket or they have their own loan system that they used, which required like a 760 credit score or something like that. So I ended up taking a break for financial reasons in 2014. I resumed 2015 and then started my clinical rotations 2017. So 2017, I was a third year. 2018, I was a fourth year. Here's a catch. I was a fourth year and I ended up having my first child while I was in my last year of medical school. So instead of me being able to take all my boards and my CK and everything ready so I could apply for the next match season, I had to take time off to, you know, take care of myself and my child. And my school was kind of gracious about it. They let me, and I had like about two rotations left. So I ended up selecting them here in my state of Arizona at a program that I was looking really interested in matching in, which they ended up giving me an interview. And then I did my boards and everything 2019. By February, I was done. That's actually, no, 2019, I ended up finishing my rotations in May. I took my CK in September, and then I ended up taking my CS in February of 2020, right before COVID hit. I flew to Atlanta. I got lucky. I was probably among the last class, the last set of students that took CS. Took my CS February of 2020, and I had everything ready, graduated June 2020, and was able to have in my application for residency. See, my timeline and everything is very non-traditional. It's very off. And I did have to do a paragraph in my ARES application explaining the gaps and the, you know, the weirdness that was in my schedule. But it turned out great because when I applied 2020, I did have a graduation date of 2020 also. So that kind of worked in my favor because I know a lot of programs do look at graduation dates, but that should not be something to steer you away from applying because I think if you have a good reason as to why, you know, you graduated 2 years or 3 years ago and you're showing that there's continuance in medicine, then you still have a chance of, you know, being looked at by a lot of these programs. So that's kind of what my timeline was.
Yeah, and I'm so happy that you shared it with us because I read from IMGs every day and me and you probably, we've never met in person, but we've chatted on through Instagram. And
right.
Just like, you know, you'll DM me every now and then. There's some, a lot of IMGs that I've talked to usually have some level of insecurity around maybe a gap or maybe, like you said, a non-traditional medical school pathway. Like in your case, starting out in 2013 and graduating 2020, like that's a long time, right? And
yeah.
So that usually makes a lot of IMGs very insecure. And I know that it's a touchy subject because obviously if you go anywhere, everybody would say that makes that IMG non-competitive or not as competitive as maybe their counterparts. But having mm-hmm. lived through this, what are your comments on that? Did you ever feel that level of insecurity? And if you did, how did you overcome it? Or how are you working through that?
Of course, of course. I did. It was one of the things that made me the most nervous when it came to my application because I almost, and this is another thing that I, this is one of those stigmas we need to break down in medicine. I almost didn't want to explain why I took the 2019 gap. Like the reason behind it was, you know, I had a baby. I was like trying to, you know, recover and all the things. Because I thought a lot of programs don't want somebody who has, you know, a family. And it's still kind of like, it's one of those things that people talk about, right? That somebody who's with children or planning on expanding your family and, you know, this, that, and the other are not considered as quote unquote dedicated or as competitive as this single person who, you know, is just focused on residency and residency only. So I fought with myself a lot on whether to disclose this piece of information, because I did not know how that was going to work. Was it going to work in my favor or against me? But I sat back and I told myself, I was like, Maureen, you have come this far. And I don't think there's one person who can say my journey was as linear as it gets and it was perfect and this is the story and I'm definitely going to match. I'm guaranteed a position. Everybody has had some hiccups in their journey. This is your hiccup. If a program doesn't want you because of what happened to you, you know, during your path to becoming a doctor, then, you know, then so be it. You know, somebody else will see your application and say, hey, look at this. This person had financial hardship that didn't, you know, that didn't discourage them. They got back. All right. Then they ended up, you know, starting a family. They took some time off. They got back. They're still trying. This is some perseverance. You know, this is good. We might want this person, you know, a program. And that's exactly what I did. I honestly put my, I put my heart on my sleeves and I explained it on my application, and thank God it did work out in my favor. So I think the biggest advice I would tell people who are scared that they, you know, they've taken too long to graduate or their journey is not the traditional 4 years and, you know, you're matching in your fourth year of medical school or, you know, you didn't even have one gap year. If you have gaps, that's okay. It is okay to have gaps. A lot of people do have gaps. The question is, what are you doing to explain what you did or how these gaps came to be and how you turned it around to something better and bigger for yourself and for your path in medicine? So I encourage you guys to talk about your gaps. If there are reasons that, you know, you feel comfortable disclosing and saying it, then this program directors also want people who are, you know, they're personable. They're like, well, this is life. Life does happen to some of us and life happens to this student and she bounced back or he bounced back and here we are, you know. So I really encourage you guys to not feel ashamed or embarrassed or let it stop you from applying. You got this. You can do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So in your ERAS application, you explained your gaps because that probably was something that you felt like you needed to be transparent about. And a lot of IMGs don't realize this, but when you fill out the ERAS application, they usually ask you if you had any gaps in your medical education. And then if you say yes, there is a box underneath that allows you to explain the reason for those gaps. And I find like that's an area of opportunity for IMGs, but the rhetoric that we hear out is, oh, your gaps are bad. So people don't take the time to do any level of introspection to say, you know, how can I address these gap years so that they are meaningful to the person that's reading them? Because number one, whatever the true reason is that I took a gap, it mattered to me that I took a gap. There was a strong reason. None of us, or very few of us, I don't know of anybody that would just take a gap because they want to. Typically, right, there's always a reason. And the minute you remove your own humanity from the equation, then you start to figure out, you start to think, which is a false way of thinking, you start to think that that gap is sort of like the one thing that would be in your, like, it's the one thing that's going to define the kind of doctor that you would be. But then you forget that some programs would actually take the time to look at an applicant holistically. They may take right. the time to look at an applicant from inside out, top to bottom, and maybe even read your statement that you write as to why you had those gaps.
and take it into consideration. And so I find that a lot of times just get caught up on just that one thing. And then it becomes a mind block. It becomes sort of like they can't think outside of that. They can't see themselves as worthy of that position outside of the fact that they've had to deal with some serious things in their own personal lives. And for some odd reason, we tend to sort of minimize the truth behind why we had those gaps, when we could instead, you know, use it to reflect and be introspective to say, okay, what's the real reason this happened? And how do we move forward from it? How do I create a lesson around it? How do I make it about lessons learned? How do I make it to where people can see my strength in overcoming it as opposed to just my weakness? Because it's all about the confidence in which you present your problem for somebody else to understand it. So how did you word that? And what is your advice for other IMGs that are listening right now and thinking, man, I have gaps and I've been worried about that. Or I took 5, 6, 7, 8 years for medical school and it should have been a 4-year program because I'm a Caribbean student. Or maybe you're from another country and you have a 6-year curriculum and it still took you longer than that. What's your advice for that group? And maybe give us an example of how you addressed yours or how you described yours, and then maybe talk to that person.
Right, absolutely. So for my school, we have this thing called an MSPE. The school, it's almost like a love letter, like a really good pumped up resume about yourself that your school writes on your behalf and sent out to all the programs that you apply. So the one thing that I did was I made sure that my MSPE, that the gaps were mentioned there, because I didn't want to contradict anything. That I didn't want to say, you know, I had a gap from this time to this time and I had missed mentioning it. So that's the number one advice I would give to especially those who go to Caribbean schools, or if your school does write such formal character letters for you and kind of like a summary of, you know, how you did during your period in medical school, make sure you read it and get all the dates correct so that when you're explaining your gap, your explanation for the dates and your MSPE are in sync. That's the number one advice I would give. Two, I wrote first how I did mine. Once I got to that area where it said, please tell us an explanation of why you had your gap year, I highlighted the year and the month that I did take the gap year. So for example, if your school doesn't have summer school and you missed, let's say, the spring, and you went back in August, don't say January to August. That's like too long of a duration. And technically, you don't go to school from January to August. You probably do February to May, and then you're done for the summer. Then you probably have something that you need over the summer, like volunteer or research or whatever. So I personally did the 2014 February to May, and then I had my explanation. I had a gap during this session because I could not financially meet the needs of my, I did not have a financial way to support myself, not just, you know, for my basic needs, but also I didn't have a way to pay for my tuition, and I had to reevaluate and come up with other ways that I would be able to return to school and be comfortable and not have to worry about money while I'm studying. And then for my other gap that I had right after my, between my fourth year and graduation, honestly, I said it as it was. I said, I had a child during the end of my fourth year, one of my last rotations in medical school, and I needed time to recuperate, to recover. This led me to have my last rotation in May. So I mentioned when my gap was, I mentioned when I resumed back into my rotations, and then I also mentioned what I did after my rotation as I was waiting to graduate. So this is where you come in, Dr. Moon, because I fell upon IMG Roadmap, and I thank God I did, because I probably wouldn't have had that boost on my ARIS application, because you... on the program is a whole good section that you talk about networking, and you really, really get into it and say, it doesn't matter if you're a subscribe if you're volunteering, whatever it is that you're doing at an academic program, an outpatient clinic, you just got to go there and get it. And I listened to that and I was like, okay, I've only had one rotation at this hospital that I right here in Arizona that I wanted to match into or to be considered. What am I doing to put myself out there to network with, you know, the attendings, the program director, coordinator, whoever it is that I need to? I literally sat on my computer and I applied for a job as a behavioral health tech. In 2 days, they called me and they offered me the position. And just like that, I was in the door, actually working at the location where the residents and the attendings and the program directors are. And in about a week and a half or two, I was able to shake hands with the program director and introduce myself and say my intent and, you know, kind of give a summary of exactly why I was there and what my goals were and what I liked about the program. And that's how I ended up landing the interview there. Now, did I rotate there? Yes. Did I do a sub-I there? Yes. Would they have probably given me an interview if I wasn't working there? No. Why? They usually don't select a lot of IMGs for their program. It's just one of those programs. So I know for sure putting myself out there and networking and, you know, just showing up to work every day put me at that advantage. And I use that to explain, in addition to my gap year, what I did. So not only did I give the exact dates when I resumed, I also said, after I resumed and I was done with my rotation, this is what I've been doing to show that I'm still interested in medicine. I still want to do psychiatry. I literally have a job as a behavioral health tech and I work there and I'm still working there. And that was the reason why this is what I've done during my gap year. And I will say this, some of the programs that interviewed me did mention that. They mentioned that we see you took a gap year, but we did see that you did bounce back and you did do some things that were useful during your gap year. So that is exactly what I would tell people who have gap years to do. If you're in a foreign, if you're in another country and your program takes 6 years and you took 8 years to graduate, there is something that you did between year 7 and 8 that was medically related. When you're saying at 2018, I took a gap year and I resumed in 2020, explain exactly what it is that you did during that gap year. I took a gap year because of financial reasons or because of medical reasons. During this time, I showed continuance in my medical education by volunteering at a YMCA and doing blah, 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 or visiting. Whatever it is that you did that's medically related, insert it there. So they just don't, so it just doesn't look like I took a gap year and I started giving up. And then 2 years down the line, I realized, wait, I want to go back to medicine. You have to show that you had some sort of continuance of interest in medicine, even during this gap year. That's going to be the difference between you who took a gap year and have explained it versus somebody who took a gap year and just says, oh, well, I had financial difficulties. All right, you had financial difficulties, but then what did you do? You knew you were not going to be in school. What did you do as you were working to get this money? Did you volunteer somewhere? Did you publish a paper? Did you get into research? What is it that you did during this gap year? Because we know you wanted to continue in medicine, but show us how bad you wanted to continue to be in medicine.
Yeah, I think people minimize the power of effort. They minimize the power of networking. Because like in your case, you're saying, hey, I listened to you, Dr. Loom, and you urged me to, you know, start where I'm planted. I think a lot of people want to start at the end. Like they just want to start at, you know, they're just going to show up someday and somebody's going to offer them an observership because they just showed up and asked for it, right? But a lot of that is not realistic, especially if you're not paying for the opportunity. It's not realistic. And it's to the point where you have to start wherever you're planted. Like in your case, you're like, I'm just going to go knock on doors. Literally is what you did. But you came in with a tactic. You came in with the approach of, I'm going to work there as a behavioral assistant while I get to know the people, while I get to see if I can meet the program director and meet these other people. And then lo and behold, you'll be a resident there this summer. And so it's pretty interesting when you say that, because I think the first day you sent me a message on match day and you like wrote all this out. You're like, I can't believe like I did this and, you know, went as a behavioral assistant and I finally matched at this program and thank you so much for your course and everything. And I was just thinking to myself, like, she bet on herself. Like, that's what happened. She did that. Like, I did not do anything. I just told you what I would do if I was in that scenario. But you bet on yourself and you said, hey, I'm going to try that out. Like, I'm just not going to sit here and listen to this talk and make me feel good, but I'm actually going to try it. But people right. don't want to bet on themselves. I know IMGs who just, they don't want to go out of their comfort zone. They don't want to be uncomfortable. They don't want to get rejected. They don't want to put themselves in a scenario where they're doing something that they consider menial. And so they're not going to do it. I mean, like, that's the part that I can't get across. IMG, start wherever you're planted. You just never know. It's that's all right. about the tactique. It's all about the art. It's all about how approachable you are, how personable you are, because you could have been on that ward and never said a word to anybody, right? And you'll still be working as right. a behavioral analyst coming, behavioral assistant coming this summer. But right. you, when you get into those spaces as an IMG, the goal is to let people know that you were there and let them know yeah. what you want. And then yeah. you make relationships. So you're not going to go in there and just like, I'm here to tell you what I want. I'm here to apply into your program. No, no, no. You make relationships. And relationships yeah. take time. It's about knowing people, being interested in them, talking to them, just being personable, approachable, smile.
Right.
Like say hi, say good morning. Like it's the little yeah. things.
And people don't realize that. And I urge every IMG listening to take a cue from your story, because what you've done here is you've taken what would have appeared to be a challenge, which is having to have been in medical school for almost seven years of medical school mm-hmm. in the Caribbean, which should have been a 4-year path, coming right. out at the other end of it, having a family while doing all of this, moving slightly mm-hmm. far from home, because you're from mm-hmm. Arizona, went over to California, and then taking this course and listening to this doctor lady somewhere else telling you to just step out of your comfort zone and start where you're planted. And then you're like, hey, I'm going to bet on myself. I'm going to do this. I'm going to try. And then you go out there right. and you're working in a position that is way below what you should be doing, but you have a plan. And your plan is right. to use this to see if people can see my work ethic, if they can know about, right. I can know about them and see how this plays out in our favor. I mean, I think your story right. is so phenomenal because obviously it's unusual, but it just tells us that these things continue to happen to people who bet on themselves.
Yeah. And I cannot emphasize this enough. I honestly, truly encourage you guys. If you know, if you're waiting to graduate or, you know, you're waiting for something before September opens up for application season and even way before interview season, and you have programs wherever you are right now, trust me, the healthcare industry needs someone or something. They need a scrub. They need a janitor. They need somebody to work in the kitchen. Do not be picky. And this answers the question of how bad do you want it, right? Do not be picky with how you get your foot in the door. Be it a behavioral health tech, a scribe, a medical assistant, whatever it is that gets you to get your foot in the door is what you need. You need that golden key. Once you get that golden key, now it's all up to you. You don't get, like Dr. Lou said, you don't get the golden key and you just show up to work, never say hi to anybody, don't put yourself up there. You are going to get rejected. Let me just say this to everybody listening, because it's a fear that we have. It's a human, you know, it's human nature. We're scared of rejection. It sucks. It feels awful, but you are going to get rejected. But guess what? You are also going to be accepted by somebody. And that somebody who accepts you kind of needs to know you to be able to accept you. So show up to work. Say hi to the janitor. Guess what? That janitor might know somebody or the secretary or somebody who works for the program director that you're looking for and guide you to the way there, right? Say hi to the attendings. You know what I used to do? I used to show up to work, and when I would see the residents come to like do the initial evaluation, I would literally run behind them and say, hey, my name is Maureen. I'm a fourth year. I just graduated medical school. I'm applying for MATCH in the 2021 cycle. Do you mind if I just follow along and take some notes, see your technique on how you do your interview, your physical exams, and this, that, and the other? That's how I started knowing their names and moving the pieces and on who's who in the program. And eventually some of the residents would be like, okay, do you want to, I would ask, like, do you mind if I do a physical, you know, real quick, just, you know, to freshen up my memory? That is me putting myself out there. They're literally looking at me like, can we be peers? Can we be equals? And then when I would see the program director have patients on my floor, I would literally go to my charge nurse and request those patients. And then when she would come to get a report, I would present them like I'm presenting rounds. And I knew for sure that she would not forget me. She had to remember me, because she would see me on the hallways. She would see me on the floors. I would present with her. I would talk to the other attendings. And so you have to put yourself out there. There isn't any other way. And I know some of us are introverted and shy, and, you know, it's uncomfortable. It is uncomfortable. But guess what? Not matching is even a bigger pill to swallow than putting yourself out there and getting rejected. You'd rather get rejected, but you tried, you put yourself out there, than ever wonder, what if I actually took that job and got to know this person and they got to know me? Maybe I would have matched there, or maybe I would have had an opportunity. Don't leave a maybe right before your interview season. And wherever you are, even if it's a 40-minute drive, train ride, whatever it is, go out there and let them see your face. Let them recognize you for something unique about you. She smiles too much. He's too friendly. He's always available. When I call him to come for an extra shift, he's always there. Stuff like that. Those are the little things that are going to move the needles for us IMGs who are already considered not so viable, quote unquote, candidates, for just because of the stigma behind being an IMG.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are really character traits that every successful IMG, most IMGs would tell you that they embody some of those things. Like being a good person actually still matters. Like, people don't realize it, but just being nice can take you to so many different places. And it's sometimes the answer is just that easy. So here you are about to start residency in psychiatry at a place that you worked as a behavioral tech. And
I want to correct that, Dr. Loom. I worked at a program. I worked at the program here in Arizona. They did give me an interview, but I didn't match here. I ended up matching at the program that I did all my rotations and electives in California.
Oh, okay. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for correcting that. My mistake. But here you are. I mean, you know, either ways, you know, you got an interview at the other place, which is actually a good sign also, because I usually tell IMGs, like, if you get an interview into a program, usually that means a program is interested in you in some capacity. And then obviously beyond that, there's the interview experience, and then there's the rank list. And those two things do not always mean the program is not interested in you. It just means that they may find another fit, or they may rank you and the algorithm just doesn't match you both. And so usually I think that it's almost good. It's really good for IMGs to know that when you get invited somewhere for interview, I think that's your validation. Like, that's what you've been looking for. And you just have to, like, literally make that experience a winning experience, so that you can be memorable enough for them to, you know, come back to you for more, so to speak. So before we let you go off the podcast, can you share how IMGs can connect with you? Maybe they want to talk to you and learn more about your story or learn from you.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not such a huge social media person, but I try. So my Instagram handle is MOEKAGZ. That's MOEKAGZ. And my email would be maureen.karina, that's K-A-R-I-N-A, at icloud.com. And Maureen is spelled as MAUREEN.KARINA at icloud.com. That's probably the best way to reach me, you know, just because I check my emails a lot and do a lot of stuff on my emails. But that's another thing I want to encourage you guys. I used to listen to this podcast and people would leave like their Instagram handles or emails and, you know, whatever it is. And I would be so scared of, like, just even going and, like, asking someone a question or going for advice, or thinking they're so busy, they'll never be able to, like, you know, get to me. No. I honestly feel like, if you've gone through the path of being an IMG and you find that email or that Instagram DM, you will find time to stop and reach out to this person because you personally know how much it means to you to have somebody reach out to you on the other end. Like for me, Dr. Loom and other people that really helped me, they were able to respond. And that meant the world for me. Picked up a lot of good information during application season. Also, don't wait till you're way too close to application season to start like asking questions and finding stuff out because you might not have enough time to, you know, maybe fix a mistake or get that letter of recommendation or whatever it is that you're looking for. So absolutely reach out to me. I'm more than happy to help. If you guys are far and you email me and you want to talk on the phone, we can exchange numbers once we get to know each other a little better. And I'm here to help whoever needs it.
Absolutely. Do you have any final words of encouragement for IMGs before you leave us?
Yes. Delay is not denial, guys, for real. Like, and do not give up. Do not listen to, we all have this, you know, this people who put us down because we're international medical graduates. Oh, you're not smart enough. Oh, you can't go in here. You can't do this. A lot of people will tell you no and they'll shut their doors for you. Guess what? Go through the window. Open another door. Just do not give up. You've come this far. There's no way you can just, you know, call it quits and say, okay, you know what, I probably bet on the wrong horse and it's not going to work for me, so I'm just going to do something else. No. If even for those IMGs who have not matched, maybe this is your second time attempting or third time, have the same zeal, fire, and passion that you did first time when you were applying, because hope is something that's so critical to us guys just making it out and being successful. So I say delay is not denial and do not give up. Not on yourself, not on your journey, not on anything. Keep pushing. You got this. You really, really got this.
Delay is not denial. I love it. I actually believe in that 100% because we always have a plan and a pathway for our lives. And I'm personally Christian and very connected with my faith in God and Jesus. And I usually really, I honestly believe that things always happen and in the timing that they're supposed to. And they don't always happen as quickly as I want them to. A lot of times things get delayed in my timing, but it's always in the perfect timing for when I'm supposed to get it. So I think just sort of a shift in belief like that can make a big difference for coping with some of the things that we consider disappointments. So thank you so much for coming on, Dr. Maureen. We really appreciate you spending some time with us and we wish you the very
best. Thank you for having me. Yeah.
Yeah. We wish you the very best as you proceed into residency. And I really appreciate it. And I strongly believe that you'll do well because you're a self-starter and you bet on yourself. And I think those are two strong traits of people who really do well is that resilience. Because for everything that you've been through, whenever you encounter a challenge in the future, you'll always remember what you came from and what made you. And that makes you stronger in the face of trouble. So I'm hopeful that you'll have a pleasant experience in training.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for the work that you do. No, for real, for real. I know you probably hear this so much, but I probably used to listen to your podcast while I was driving out of work and, you know, I wake up and I'm trying to, you know, do my application and I'm fearful about something. I'll go listen to somebody else's story or just like listen to the IMG roadmap, a section of it, or re-listen on how to write my personal statement and this, that, and the other. And you are really doing some great things in the IMG community and you trailblazed and showed us that anything is possible and just given us such good tools and gems that here we are talking with you based off on the tools that you provided with us as matched residents. So God bless you. Really, God bless you.
I'm so humbled that you said that. Like, I'm just going to go into a closet right now and cry. that's so funny. I'm kidding, but I like hearing your feedback because it makes the work that I do valuable. And, you know, when I tell people to invest in themselves and take my course or to invest in themselves and work with me, oftentimes I think IMGs were the worst. Like, we want to shortchange ourselves. Like, we don't realize that sometimes
sacrificing to take that investment, to take a course like what I offer, is actually a huge investment for a very little cost. Because the career that you will have after you're successful in your match, it's certainly going to outweigh the pennies that you pay to take a course like this. But again, it's the mindset, right? Like, we're so fixated on our problems that we're not even willing to see outside of our problems and see what is possible. And so, you know, obviously, I don't force anybody to come take my course. I usually don't try to push it down anybody's throat. But those who find out that I have one typically sign up and want to be a part. But when I listen to you, it just tells me, like, the work that I'm doing is so valuable that the cost should not be a concern for other people, because it's actually at a super, super cheap discount that they can take this course.
I honestly think if I didn't take your course, my application would not have made. I know this sounds extreme for me to say, but I would have done such a horrible job on my application. I probably would not have gotten invites for interviews, to be honest with you, because just nobody teaches you how to do an ERAS application. You know, it is an application. It's self-explanatory, yes, but how you fill it is so important, and like what you put in it to just make yourself unique and stand out, which I learned a lot from your roadmap program. The difference between all the other psych, you know, people who are applying and myself. And for example, just that gap explanation that you explained down there. So I think whoever's second guessing or unsure or doubtful whether to take Dr. Loom's course, or is this one of those courses that they just take your money, you don't get anything for it, I can attest to the fact that you will get your money's worth and more when you take her course. I probably will use feel some of the gems that she taught me when I'm in residency. So it's absolutely worth it. If you're thinking about it or don't even know about it, head on there, click on it, subscribe, buy it, start using it for sure.
IMGroadmap.com, guys. That's where it's located. You can sign up whenever you listen to this podcast. It'll still be in the comment section as well. Not in the comments, in the show notes as well, and also on my website. So it's right there. It's readily available. Thank you so much, Dr. Morin, for coming on.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me.